Welcome to worship at Marvin Methodist Church in downtown Tyler, Texas. My name is Doug Baker, and I'm the lead pastor. Today, we're blessed to hear from Executive Pastor Dr. Mark Donaldson as he preaches for us. May the Lord bless the proclamation of the Word. Come, Holy Spirit. Let's join in as the sermon is underway.
I want to invite you to turn to the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 15. We're going to read verses 1, 2, and 5. John Hopkins Fry IV is going to read our scripture, John 15, 1, 2, and 5. He's grown up in this church, is in the fifth grade, is very involved in our children's ministry. Thank you for reading this morning.
I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing.
This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name so grateful for your presence. Lord, we're grateful for your goodness, and we acknowledge our identity as your beloved, your bride, the body of Christ. We have the mind of Christ, a heart of flesh, a fire in our bones, and we know that comes from you, and yet we long for more. And so we pray the words of Jesus from John 17, sanctify us by the truth. Your word is truth. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Pray that with me. Come, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, it's so good to be with you this morning. I know I've met at least one person new this morning. And so for those who are, my name is Mark Donaldson. I'm one of the pastors here. Normally, I'm down the hall in our contemporary service, Core Worship, which meets in Heard Worship Center. But my wife, Leanne, and I, we say, no matter where we are on Sunday morning, traditional here in the sanctuary, down the hall in Core, we love whichever space, whichever place we're in. We do worship so well, so good, and I'm thankful for you, and I'm thankful for Core. I'm thankful for this church, amen? Our son is 18. He's a student at Tyler Junior College, and I remember years and years ago, when we were in the Woodlands and he was growing up just a preschooler, his Aunt Libby gave him a gift for his birthday. It was this gardening kit with tools and with sunflower seeds and soil. And we took that seed and we put it in this biodegradable cup full of soil, set it in the windowsill where it would get sunlight, and we watered it. But as soon as we put it in the windowsill, Marcus sat down expecting it to grow instantaneously, and he was disappointed when it didn't. And so he went on about his business, and it was not long before it did begin to shoot and produce. And that's when we took this little tiny flower outside, planted it in the earth so that it would grow sunflowers and drop seeds and more sunflowers, because that's the way it's supposed to work. Marcus was smart enough to know we're not going to sit there and watch. We went inside, and as soon as we went inside, there were squirrels that came and just ate that flower like it was nothing, and we never saw sunflowers again. The scripture that we read this morning, John Hopkins read this morning, it's not about sunflowers, but it is about the vine. And the scripture that we read earlier, Matthew 7, it is about fruitfulness. And that's what we're talking about this morning. Our fruitfulness, which comes from staying connected to Jesus. John 15 is in the upper room. Jesus just washed his disciples' feet, instituted the sacrament of Holy Communion, and he is downloading his heart into their heart and soul so that they can carry on the mission when he leaves. This passage is all about being rooted and established in love. And it opens, verse 5, John 15, 5, opens with these words, "I am the vine." Jesus is talking to his disciples using an image they would have been very familiar with. The vine was on their currency. It was an image over the temple as they entered into the sacred and holy place. It's one of several I am statements that Jesus made throughout the Gospel of John. And the prophets had often referred to Israel, comparing Israel to a vine that failed to bear fruit. Psalm 80, Isaiah chapter 5, Jeremiah chapter 2, Hosea chapter 10. When Jesus says, "I am the vine," he's declaring himself the fulfillment of Israel's calling. In other words, it's not your heritage that is salvation, that produces life. It is your connectedness to me. Jesus is the true source of life. I am the vine. You are the branches. Not you individually, but we. This is plural. We are a part of something bigger than ourselves. Not just about me or you, but us. The body of Christ, his life flows in us, through us. And it's a good thing because as branches, we share the same essence as the vine. We are connected to him, alive in him, interdependent and dependent on him. Jesus makes it clear there are two kinds of branches, those that are fruitful and those that are not. And a branch that is not, a branch that is disconnected, that branch becomes brittle, dies, and it's good for nothing else but to be thrown into the fire. Should give us pause to reflect. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, to remain in Jesus means discipleship isn't passive. What's going to happen here? Is this seed going to bloom? To remain in Jesus means that we are connected to him in deep, abiding relationship that is already established by God's grace. Jesus is talking to a people who already belong to him. His disciples, there in the upper room, he's not saying, keep on getting saved, repeating the same thing again and again. He's saying, stay connected, nurture that relationship that's already begun. For those of you who are married, if I ask you, are you married? The correct answer is not, ish. We are married. The word is not remain in that marriage. It's not get married again. It is remain connected in covenant with your spouse and with me. Nurture the relationship you already have. Branches do not strive to produce fruit. It is a natural byproduct of that connectedness. They simply abide in the vine. Our role is to remain in, with, connected to Christ, who said, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit." Not maybe, you will. There's a direct relationship between remaining in Christ and our bearing fruit. And Jesus repeats this theme 10 times in 11 verses in John chapter 15. And fruit shows up in one of two ways, inwardly and outwardly. Inwardly, this fruit is seen in our character. There are fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience. And how many times do we say, "Lord, give me more patience"? And that's not the way it happens. It happens by staying connected to the Lord, because patience and all these other virtues are a fruit of our connectedness, our intimacy with Jesus. The natural result of Christ's life in us, that's inward. Outwardly, this fruit appears in our witness. As we remain in Christ, our lives become curious to others. People notice things that may be peculiar about us, and they ask, why are you so hopeful? Why are you so kind? It just might be that same kindness that led us to repentance is leading them to the same, because we're listening more than we speak. We're engaged in their lives. We're loving the faithful presence of God's love. The best way to cultivate that outward fruit is by being faithful, being engaged in people's lives, curious about them. It's not striving. It is abiding. And we are in relationship with Christ and with the world. I am the vine, Jesus said. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And then Jesus adds, but apart from me, you can do how much?
Nothing.
Nothing. And he's giving us the secret to life, to stay connected to him, to remain in him. And as we do, his presence in us, the sap of the Holy Spirit, produces life in us, life outside of us, fruit that lasts. And what does that fruit look like? What does all of this look like that we're talking about, remaining, abiding in Christ? If I could give it to you very simply put, those who remain in Christ are rooted, restful, relational. What does it mean that we are rooted? In the person and work of Christ. We are rooted in that truth, that reality. We are rooted in the Christian faith, ancient, historic, apostolic. We are rooted in the church, which is the body of Christ that gathers here on West Irwin Street, Marvin Methodist Church, but it's also, we're rooted in the global Methodist movement. We are rooted in the church that spans the globe and has existed since Christ poured out his Spirit at Pentecost. And we are rooted in all of the places that we go. Work, school, you children, homes, on streets and neighborhoods. We are rooted and we are restful. These rhythms that we give ourselves to of Sabbath rest and work, rhythms of rest and work, rhythms of gathering for worship and scattering into the world, rhythms of praying and listening, of fasting and feasting, of confessing our sin and receiving grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Much more so, you are free. And that's our reality. That is our relational. And we are relational with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who exists in God's very essence in community. We're also relational within the church. It's God and each other, and that identity is set, body of Christ. We are relational with the world, image bearers who are out there and they don't know the hope of Christ like we do. When we are rooted in Christ and living from this place of deep rest in God, that propels us into mission, and we live our lives on purpose in every place we go. Each one of us uniquely gifted, uniquely positioned in places that I don't go. Whether you are an insurance agent, or a stay-at-home parent, or a landman working out in the fields, or whether you are a doctor or a teacher, an attorney, places I don't go, rubbing shoulders with people I don't know, we are positioned in the world to bring the love and hope of Jesus and all the dark places our paths take us into. We listen more than we speak. We love really well. We offer the hope of Jesus Christ, and we give dignity to people who are exactly that, people, not projects. We are in the world, not of it, pursuing those who are in the world as God pursued us. We are rooted, restful, relational. That's what Christ offers us. If you're in this room, that's his offering to you. And I wonder why it is that so many of us know anything but that. We're not rooted in this because we're rooted in that. And then something changes in us and we move on to the next thing. Disconnected from Christ and from each other. We're not restful. We live lives of quiet desperation. We're frenetic, distracted, and just, man, I'm exhausted, so busy. And we're hardly relational. We live in quiet isolation, separated from God when we've been brought close to his heart, separated from each other. Worse, that's our identity. We are the body of Christ, not me, but we. A friend of mine did a sleep study one time, and he was diagnosed and prescribed a CPAP machine. And he said, I had no idea how unrested I was, how poor my sleep was. And I can relate to that sometimes, and bet that you can too. Oxygen that we need for deep, abiding rest, connectedness to God. How many of us are suffocating because we're disconnected, not abiding? We're not rooted, restful, or relational. When we are, when we respond to this grace, it's like that seed that God has given into the conditions that are just right. And it produces life. When the time was right, God stepped down out of heaven in the person and work of Jesus. And when he was on this earth, Jesus gave God a face and a name. He lived, and when he lived, he taught in their synagogues. He proclaimed the good news of the gospel. He healed every sickness and disease among the people. Jesus lived, and he died a brutal death, satisfying the righteous requirement of God's holy law, reconciling us to God and to each other. He said, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down of my own accord and have the power to take it up again. That's what he did, because death couldn't keep him. Hell couldn't hold him. On the third day, Jesus got up, raised from the dead, appeared to over 500 of his followers for a period of 40 days. And when that time was right, after the ascension, he poured out his Holy Spirit into the hearts and minds of those who realize their need. They repent and receive this gift of God's presence. And y'all, that's what it means to be Christian. Men and women whose lives are marked by God's presence in them. Is he in you? There's so much at stake, not just for us, not just for the church, but for the world. As we give ourselves to deep, abiding love with God, with each other, fruit is produced. One of the great privileges I have of serving here at Marvin is seeing how deeply rooted this congregation already is. From the saints of old who have sat in these pews and sung hymns and prayed prayers and proclaimed what they believe, to the children who sang just before our very ears earlier and were taught at Sunday school and are being impressed upon the faith of our fathers. In recent years, we've seen this revival of Wesleyan classes and bands, small groups where people meet weekly to ask, how is it with your soul? And maybe more importantly, people are learning how to pastor one another well. Because it's not just my job, it's our job. And how much are we seeing the Lord work in the lives of people who need healing, in the lives of people who are desperate for hope and peace, and who knows what the simple prayer, come Holy Spirit, is unleashing before our very eyes. I'm serious, we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children. How much more will our Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? And you know He is that big. There's always more of God to experience, more of God to learn, more of self I'm learning, more I'm invited to surrender. So come on, Holy Spirit, and do a work in me, do a work in we, that we might see fruit like we've never seen it before. We are on a journey with Christ and in Christ, and transformation does not just happen accidentally, nor does it happen overnight, but it is the long, steady process of staying connected, being faithful, abiding in Christ. It happens over time, and sometimes that pruning is painful. Sometimes it's like the squirrel just biting the head off. Sometimes it's the Lord cutting things off that we might be even more fruitful, that we might be even more fruitful, because the reality is, in Christ, there's new life to be lived, full life to be realized and experienced as we abide in Him. So I want to give you two things to reflect on, and maybe you'll take them with you this week. So I encourage you, as you're able, to write these down. But first, let me ask, what are those things in your life, things that you give yourself to? What are the things that promise life, but they leave you empty? What are those things that promise life, but they leave you empty? Second, whether it's rooted, restful, relational, what is one step you can take, one thing you can do this week to remain in Christ in a more intentional way? Rooted, restful, relational. What's one thing you can do this week to remain in Christ? Lord God, we're so grateful for Your grace. We're grateful for Your love, the way You invite us to repentance, and the way You get us moving in this journey that we call discipleship. We thank You for salvation. We thank You for sanctification. And God, we don't want to miss a thing. So wake us up and awaken faith in us that we might be fruitful for our good, the world's gain, to Your glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for watching our broadcast this morning. I'd also like to personally invite you to join us for Sunday morning services here at Marvin Church. Our church is located at 300 West Irwin Street, one block west of the town square. Please visit our website to learn more about our church or text NEW, N-E-W, to 90382 to receive a personal response from our church. If you'd like to make a financial contribution to the church, please go to marvin.church/give. Thanks again for joining us and have a blessed week.